Royce can't hear anybody. Turn it way up, Valerie. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, listen, Brother Chris just mentioned those folks, but you know, we always have two or three, normally in a church this size, two or three families that really need our prayers for someone being sick in that family. But I want to start off this morning with just reading the list that I have in front of me. Brother Chris mentioned several of them, but and then I want to have a word of prayer specifically for these folks. And Beth Cowan is Jerry Copeland's sister, right? And so she needs our prayers. Trey is Pat's grandson or somebody in that family. Yeah, Sandra's grandson. So you're very close to him. Pray for Trey. He's the one that's been having seizures, had a good week, so he may be responding well to the medication that he's on. Pray for Ricky Cooper, Jerry and Georgina's son that had the shunt put in that Brother Chris was talking about. Pray for Jim Doolin. This is Martha's good friend over at Trust Point. And, of course, Reese. And, by the way, Paula asked me to make sure that you guys knew that Reese so appreciates all the people in our Sunday school class that's reached out to her and checked on her and texted her and called her. Thank you so much for doing that. And so let's pray for Reese and Melissa, of course, as Brother Chris said, and Shane King, who had the other shunt. You know, he had a shunt put in last week. And so, man, there's just a lot to absorb here. And these guys, pray that God would give them grace to get through these times. So, like I said, I'm going to do this a little different. I'm going to pray a short prayer, and then I'm going to ask Brother Albert, would you mind doing a short prayer as well when I get done? And then Brother Royce, would you pray again? Let's pray for these guys. And I don't know, you know, we never do this to this extent, but a lot of people are hurting in our church family. So you bow your head with me, and I'll lead us in a short prayer, and followed by these two gentlemen here. Father, we just come specifically for a moment asking for your intervention in each of these families' lives. And God, we believe in the power of prayer, and we believe that you do listen to your people in this list that I just read out. You know each and every situation, circumstance in their life. And God, we're just bringing the list to you. We're bringing the list to you and asking God that you do the best thing in each of these situations. Give each family grace to get through this difficult time, grace to get through the circumstances they have to go through. Give them peace as they're sitting there, or as they're watching their loved ones sit there, Lord, lie there and go through procedures. God, we know you're a God who can do anything. We also know you have a plan for each of our lives. God, just give us the grace to accept whatever happens. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have eternal salvation today in heaven and walk free to go to heaven. driving. They can look forward to that safe home that we're looking forward to. Father, I thank you once again for this church. Thank you for what it means to this community. And for a lot of people all over the United States ought to know about this church. Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for the leaders of this church. We thank you for all the ones that have worked so hard and diligently to take care of the leaders of this church, Father. And always know that you are ahead of this church family. We love you so much. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. In his precious name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you guys for that. If you have your Bible this morning, turn over to, we're actually going to be in three spots, Matthew, Mark, and John. Matthew 26, first of all, Matthew 26, then Mark 14. Matthew 26 and Mark 14. It's great to have you here this morning. I appreciate you being in Sunday school class, and I trust that you'll get something out of the text of God's Word this morning. Matthew 26, verse number 6, to start off with. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Now turn to Mark 14. Mark 14, and then we'll end up and stay at John 12. Mark 14 and John 12. I don't normally give different accounts of stories all at one time because it takes so much time and we have such little time. But in this case, I wanted to for you to see the big picture here of what's taken place, and this was a really nice way to do it. Mark 14, verse number 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? For she hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And then the last one, John 12, where we are in our Sunday school study. John 12, verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Well, it was just 1 week ago in our studies where we saw that the pendulum had swung so far to one end that the religious leaders of Jesus' day wanted to kill him. They wanted to end his life. We saw in chapter 11, verse 53 and verse 57, how they basically had come to that decision that they were going to take his life from him. And so here in this 12th chapter, we see Jesus at this point in his life in Bethany. Bethany is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. So instead of our Lord becoming a fugitive and taking flight and leaving for safety, he goes 2 miles outside of town to a home of Simon the leper. Simon had obviously been a leper with that dreaded disease, and Jesus had healed him. And now he's got this home, and in his home there is Lazarus, Mary, and Martha of Bethany, as well as the 10 disciples, which we can gather from the Mark and Matthew account. So 17 people at least in this home. And it is Simon's home. And they are here just probably a couple of months after what happened in chapter 11. And Jesus is in the home. Now this is the final, as we said last week and the week before, John 11 and 12 is the close of Jesus' public ministry. Now, don't you find it telling, if you will, that Jesus opened up his ministry at a wedding, the wedding in Cana? And a wedding is all about a home, a couple. I was so blessed, so privileged to officiate a wedding on Friday night at Spirit Ranch, and it just reminded me of how important in God's Word the family is. The married couple, the marriage and the home is so very, very important. In the Gospel of John, he opens his public ministry at a wedding in Cana and closes it by a visit to this home. Isn't that telling? I thought about my childhood. My dad was a missionary of sorts to the States, if you will. That's what he felt like God wanted him to do. And so he started 3 churches while I was at home. And all 3 of those churches were started in the home. And so Saturday night would come about, and we would have whatever's going on in the house between us 3 kids and mom and dad, whatever people came in or whatever we were doing or school activities. But Saturday night, it all had to stop because we had to get ready for church because it was the church building. And in Kingston, Tennessee, there was a room off the kitchen there where we had to move the dining table and pull in the chairs. And so in my mind, as I'm thinking about this whole home visit by Jesus, my mind goes off to those years where until we had enough money to rent a place, our church was our home. And so our Lord puts a great amount of emphasis upon the home. The home and marriage and weddings have God's blessing upon them if we do them His way. So verse number 1 says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So Lazarus was from chapter 11. And so here he is. We're just going to go slow. We got about 15 minutes, so just enough time to do what I would like to do in this setting here in this home. First of all, we have Lazarus, who has been raised from the dead. And he is sitting at the table with Jesus, who raised him from the dead. You know my imagination here. What are they talking about? Just imagine this conversation, Stacy. Imagine this conversation from Lazarus to Jesus, or Jesus to Lazarus. I can't imagine it. I don't know, but it was sweet, whatever it was. And this is Simon's home. And it's not clearly annotated in the scriptures that Simon was sitting at the table with them, but I bet he was. He had leprosy, and our Lord healed him. Both of these men have a new life given to them by their Savior, who is sitting with them at the table. You got your mind wrapped around that? Isn't that neat? Well, you know, that happened physically for them. And for Lazarus, it was a raising from the dead. Jesus had said back in chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Lazarus is saying, amen. That's what happened to me. That I was dead, and physically dead, and he brought me to life. Well, you and I, if we remember what the Apostle Paul told us so many times in the book of Romans, we were dead in trespasses and sin. And our Lord's gift of grace upon the cross brought us to life. So we've got something in common with these two men. So kind of put that in the back of your mind. These men are fellowshipping with the Lord. And in just a moment, we're going to see that Lazarus had a testimony. Now, we don't know that Lazarus said a word. We don't know in the Bible if he had anything to say, but his life was a witness. The reason I know that is because the Jews wanted him dead because he was a witness. People were believing on the Lord Jesus Christ because Lazarus was alive. And they wanted to put him back in the grave. They wanted to put him back in the ground. But for now, these two men are having sweet fellowship with the Lord, and they are witnesses to what Jesus did for them. The second person that we're going to see here in this verse is Martha. Martha, we talked about a little bit last week, and also a little bit Sunday night when I was able to preach. And Martha was the worker. She was the busy one, scurrying about, taking care of the kitchen, taking care of people. But this time it's a little bit different. We don't have time for you to turn to it, but let me read to you a passage from Luke chapter 10 about the first time that we see Martha serving in her house. It says, Now it come to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So Martha is that person who's so intent on working, serving. Now, as we saw last Sunday night in Romans 12:1, where Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That word living there is all about who we are. You have tendencies and strengths that I may not have. And so you have an opportunity to serve the Lord with your strengths and your abilities, and Linda's piano, I've got things that God's given me abilities for. And so we serve the Lord with what he's given us. And Martha had an eye for service, busyness, activity. But I think by the time we get to John 12, she's learned how to use it in a lot better way. You see, in Luke chapter 10, she was jealous. She was envious because her sister got to sit at the feet of Jesus and she had to work. Well, she didn't have to work. That was her choice. And so, on one hand, we've got these two men Simon and Lazarus here in this house, and they are fellowshipping with the Lord, and they are witnesses for the Lord in their life with what they've done. And then we've got Martha over here, who is a worker. I mean, she shows her love to the Lord by being busy. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as it's done with a good heart and a good attitude. How many of us down through the years, maybe here at Bible Baptist Church, or maybe at some church we went to before, how many of us can point to a time in our Christian life when we were busy serving the Lord, but because we weren't appreciated? Or maybe because we felt like we were the only one doing it, that we developed a bad attitude? Me. Probably you too. You're just not raising your hand. Thank you, Georgina. It's awfully important for us to have a good attitude about our service to the Lord. Martha was busy serving, and here in this story, she didn't, in Luke chapter 10, as far as we know, she just had the Lord, her, and Martha to care for, to serve for, to make food for, and all the preparations in the kitchen, all that work. Here in this story, we know of at least 17 people. We've got the 12 disciples, we've got the Lord, we've got Lazarus, we've got Simon, Mary, and Martha. She's busy, and she's not saying a thing about it. Quietly serving the Lord with what she can do. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? So we see Lazarus and Simon on one side, and then we see Martha over here scurrying about in the kitchen. And then in the next verse, it says, Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now they tell us, these verses tell us here that this was a very costly rub, a very costly ointment. Took a whole year's wages to save for this ointment. Why was she holding it? Why was she saving it? I don't know. Maybe for her own burial someday? I don't know. She didn't use it on her brothers when Lazarus died, which was just recently. So she's got this thing in her possession, this valuable alabaster box. They tell us that more than likely it was probably a marble box that sealed somehow. The box itself was probably expensive, but she's got this expensive ointment in it, and she's at the feet of Jesus, serving him, rubbing his feet, and as we saw from Matthew and Mark, his head as well. And she is worshiping. She is at the feet of Jesus, and that was her way of service. One home, three ways of serving their Lord. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if we take the most personal message that we can from this story, our homes should be the same way. All three areas of service. You say, well, Dwayne, I'm alone. My kids have moved out and I live by myself. Well, that's your home. Amen. That's your home. And so we can take it to the individual. All three of these things are so very important for Dwayne, for Linda. We should be busy in our service for the Lord. You can do things that I could never do. In your witnessing and in your testifying to the Lord, you have avenues with some of your people in your family and in your neighborhood and where you used to work that would listen to you. You have all of your experiences in life. You have things in common with people that I could never get to know these people because I'm so different from them. That's your service. That's your living sacrifice. And our service to the Lord definitely should be like Martha over there, busy about serving the Lord any way we can, however different it might be. And then there's Then there's the service that Simon and Lazarus had. They're a witness. Imagine a man, a stranger, coming down the sidewalk. I'm sure they didn't have concrete sidewalks, but they had dirt sidewalks. Imagine a man coming down the street and start talking to Lazarus in his life, or Simon. Boy, what a story these two men had. Hey, let me tell you what happened to me 2 weeks ago. You'll never believe it. I was dead. They buried me, Royce. And now I'm walking around. What a witness that was to others. And then when they gather in this house, in this home, they fellowship with the Lord. And I'm taking that license with Simon because the Bible doesn't say that per se. But I just got I got an imagination here that Jesus is in the middle and Lazarus is right here and Simon's right here and they're talking. They're having some sweet, sweet fellowship together. And where's Mary? Mary's in the back room there. Mary's at the feet of Jesus. I've read different commentaries. Some of them say that they ate in a reclined position. That would be tough for me. I don't think my digestion would work so well if I did that. Some say he was sitting at a stone table, probably reclined a little bit with his feet out in front of him, and that may be where Mary was. But whatever time she was ministering to Jesus, and wherever it was in the house, she was serving him. She was giving to the Lord this precious ointment that she had saved for, and taking this ointment, and this ointment was being rubbed upon his feet, and Mark says upon his head, and that was her worship. She was accustomed to being at the feet of Jesus. You know what I liken that to? Because we're all busy. I mean, we're all doing things for the Lord, and we all have opportunities to witness, just like Simon and Lazarus did. But what I liken to what Mary did in my mind was time in His Word. The kids are away or asleep. The wife's in another room doing something else. And Dwayne is in his office or in his bedroom or in the garage or something. And I got the Word out. And I'm just trying to spend time with the Lord. I'm just at a moment of worship with Him. And you know what's most beneficial? Everybody's different, but what's most beneficial to me is when I read these kinds of accounts here is when I put myself right smack dab in that house and I just start thinking. More than likely we'd have an inclination to do one of the three first. You know, some of you ladies do so well in preparing food. We have evidence of that every time we get together back here. And so you may have that inclination to serve in that regard, and that's great. But while you do that, don't forget that you also need to spend time at the feet of Jesus. That service is important. That work is important. But you need time in God's Word alone. You need time sitting and worshiping the Lord and just talking to Him. I'll never forget when we went through about 10, 15 years ago, when we went through the Bible study methods course. And I don't remember where I got it, but I had found an illustration of how to study God's Word in conjunction with prayer. And it made such an impact upon my mind because what it basically said was, you know, we read God's Word, we sit down and we study it, and we try to understand it. But because we're living in 2022, and we're hundreds and hundreds ago these words were written, so we're not always on the same page about what they mean. And so this gentleman who made this list of suggestions of what to do when you're reading the Bible said this right here. Read it slowly. Read it fully. Read it slowly. Read it fully. And then reread it slowly. And then read it fully. That's a lot of reading. And then if you don't understand it, set your Bible to the side and get out of your chair and kneel down at your bed or at your chair, and you ask God for understanding. Now, at the age we are, we might not want to kneel down too much, but you might have to sit at the edge of the bed instead, because I'm there too. And then he said, okay, then you pick your Bible back up and you read it. You read it slowly. And you try to comprehend it. And then you reread it slowly. And you re-try to comprehend it. And if you still don't understand it, can you guess what the next step is? Get back on your knees. And what it is, and I have been here so many times, what it is you may not actually understand what that phrase is you're trying to understand, but God's going to talk to you another way. He's going to work on something in your head in the process. He's going to work on a hard part of your heart as you're trying this. One last thing, and I'll close. And I've said this so many times because it's so personal to me. But, you know, being bivocational and working at the job, and then some weeks are so busy, you know, all the things that go on with the family and all this. So I always get up at 5 on Sunday morning for the purpose of reviewing all this. But sometimes, Brother Stacy, when I get up at 5 to review all the, all of this, something else happens. I'm going over my lesson. I'm going over my points to make sure I'm not tripping all over my tongue as I'm talking to you. And Linda, there's something there in those verses that I didn't see all week. You know, or I saw it and I went right over it. And on Sunday morning, Royce, God just gets a hold of me. He says, looky here. You missed this one. And this one's about you. You're talking about something personal. God's word has a way of doing that. And I really honestly think that Mary had that part down because she spent time at the feet of Jesus. And she spent time rubbing his head with her ointment. And she spent time rubbing his feet with her ointment. And she did it with something that cost her a lot. Do you remember David did the same thing? David worshiped the Lord. I'm out of time, but David worshiped the Lord with something that cost him dearly. He had to pay for all of that lot that the Jebusite had and build that altar and use. He had to buy the ox. Anyway, Mary had to save all year long for this ointment, which she gave to the Lord. She put upon his feet and his head in probably a matter of minutes. That cost her dearly. So as we live and as we be at home, let's remember to be busy working, serving. Let's be busy worshiping like Mary did. And then let's have fellowship with him, with our life in front of others. Be a witness for the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for these few minutes to look in these 11 verses. And